This week on Grape Encounters Radio.
Crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
You know, it's hard to imagine that there is any silver lining that can come out of the horrific story, or I should say stories, coming from Northern California. It's the most catastrophic wildfire event in the history of the Golden State. And one of the early reports of a winery lost was that of the Fry Winery in the Redwood Valley near the town of Ukiah in Northern California. It was heartbreaking for me, especially because the Fry Winery abuts my own brother's property. And in fact, his home was reported destroyed in the fires. But the Fry story was one of the early stories. And as I said, because I've known the Fry family for a while now, it just broke my heart. But you know what? There is a person on the line right now, a member of the Fry family who we've had on the show before, Katrina Fry, the executive director of Fry Vineyards. And I guess there is a silver lining. Katrina, welcome to Grape Encounters. It's really nice to talk to you, but not under these circumstances. How are you?
Oh, hi, David. Thanks so much for reaching out. You know, we are doing remarkably well. An event like this really brings you quickly to what is the most important thing in life. And the fact that we were able to evacuate 64 people from our properties.
64 people. Wow.
And get them all to safety, and then also to know that all of our employees and their families are safe is so central to the fact that we are doing well. It's really, really sad to see the devastation all around us, but as far as Fry Vineyards goes, it's far from losing everything.
Well, you know, the story of the decimation at the Fry Vineyard was one of the first reports that we heard of a major loss to the wine industry, but it's apparently not nearly as bad as was earlier reported. Can you just give us a rundown? Because, you know, at one point we thought you were completely gone, but that's far from the case.
That's right. We had an old rustic winery office building that was very picturesque and made of beautiful old growth redwood, and that went up in flames. But that was just our offices, and now I don't have to clean my office. And what remains in unscathed shape is our big metal warehouse containing all of our bottled goods.
Wow.
The original big house where my mother and father-in-law brought up their 12 children who would go on to found Fry Vineyards. And then also our whole crushing pad is intact, as well as most of the tanks. The tanks that were full of wine are fine. The fire was so fast, it was like a blowtorch blowing through that, because of all of the thermal mass inside the tank, it just blew right past.
So am I to assume then that the heat was not sufficient enough to destroy the wine inside? It was such a quick event that it didn't have a huge impact?
That's exactly right. And we didn't really know that. You know, it's just been recently that we've been allowed to come back to evaluate. So we are celebrating as we open the tanks and taste the wine inside.
God, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. That is just great news, because, you know, there are so many other wineries that are in the same position as you that, you know, were subjected to such incredible heat, you know, so that's a great prognosis for other people who kind of in the same position as you are. I hope that's going to be the case, because the potential for loss could be literally in the billions, given how pervasive this fire is.
Oh, you're so right, David. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, the scale of this for Northern California. And our hearts go out to all of our friends and neighbors as well.
You know, it's been amazing. You know, I talked momentarily about the silver lining, but it's been just amazing to watch the outpouring of love and support that's going on in your area. And, you know, even areas like where we are, on the Central Coast, there are all kinds of efforts going on down here right now to raise money to try to help. And, you know, it just makes me feel so proud of the industry that we work in. And, you know, there's some competition between the Central Coast and Northern California, but when it gets down to brass tacks, it's just beautiful to see how everybody is coming together to try to help one another. And, you know, you just can't put a price tag on that. And it's one of the greatest gifts in life is, you know, that love and that outpouring of support.
Oh, you're so right. And I want to mention some very specific support that Fry Vineyards is receiving from three of our neighboring wineries up here in Mendocino County that are all National Organic Program certified facilities and have offered to allow our growers to bring their grapes to them, because we buy a lot of our certified organic grapes from growers here in the area. So they're opening up their facility, and my brother-in-law Paul, our winemaker, is dashing from one location to the other to supervise crushing of these grapes. And it's Barra of Mendocino.
Oh gosh, you know what? We love the Barra family. They've been on the show multiple times. They're icons in the industry and just
absolutely
the most
and
wonderful
Sean and
people.
Martha and Charlie are doing everything they can to help us. And then also, Fetzer Winery is letting us do some of our crush at their facility as well.
And they're another institution. I think if you drink wine, you can't not know Fetzer.
That's
you know,
right.
They're just a huge and deeply respected organization. And then you said there's a third one.
Yes, Perducci Cellars as
there's
well.
There's another icon. I mean, isn't that amazing?
All of our key wineries are reaching out to us. The Fetzers and the Fries were raised together in Redwood Valley. The Fetzers had a mere 11 children. The Fries had 12, but they're several best friends in those years of growing up together.
You know what? I wanted to mention, you know, two things. First of all, the wine industry is unique in the fact that there are so many wineries that are operated by families. I know that a lot of times people tend to think that wineries are very corporate, but there remains so many wineries today that are purely family operations. And tell me how many people, how many members of the Fry family are currently a part of the day-to-day business?
Yeah, we have 12 full-time family members, and that is two generations of people working together. And up until just a year ago, my 93-year-old mother-in-law used to be on the bottling line. She's still with us, but she can't quite handle the bottling line.
Yeah, 93.
Anymore.
Cut her a little slack, you know, get her a really, really super nice rocking chair. She could sit there and watch. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention about the Fry Winery is that you were, I believe, the first certified organic winery in America. Do I have that right?
That is right.
Wow.
Yeah, we're very proud of that, and we're also so relieved that that's a legacy that we're going to be able to continue. The other silver lining in this, David, is that 2 months ago, we broke ground on a brand new winemaking facility 2 miles down the road from our winery. And it's on a vineyard land that we have owned for quite a few years, 40 acres, a nice flat piece. So we actually have all of the grading and the rocking done. The plans are all done. The metal building is all ordered. So now we're really full steam ahead on that project because we obviously need to get up and running. So looking forward to the future there.
It's got to feel good to, at this point, have so many family members who have a vested interest in the Fry operation, you know, to be able to just pitch in and navigate through what has to be just a monumental task of bringing the operation back up to full steam. You know, it's just so wonderful to have family around, isn't it, in these times?
Oh, it's just the best. And, you know, it's such a capable, inventive, and resilient crew. We're really blessed.
All right, listen, can you hang on for just a second? I want to come back and spend a couple of minutes just getting a bird's eye perspective of, you know, what things literally are like after something so ferocious as this fire sweeps through an area like Redwood Valley. So can you hang with me and just kind of help the rest of us to understand what you're seeing and what you're dealing with?
Yes.
All right, we're going to come back in just a second. We've got Katrina Fry on, one of the members of the Fry family that have been in headlines all across the world. And we'll come back with Katrina in just a second, so stay with us.
connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California.
This segment of Grape Encounters is brought to you by my number one wine discovery of 2016, the awesome gold medal winning wines of the Cardello Winery. From the very first sip, you'll understand why these astounding, nicely priced Cardello wines are swiftly becoming a cult classic, just as I predicted. Handcrafted and stunning, you can get yours at CardelloWinery.com. That's CardelloWinery.com. Or find more information at grapeencounters.com.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
At Grape Encounters, we're all about sharing. That's why it would be a crying shame if you didn't join our Facebook group page. Just search for Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's where we're constantly sharing the latest wine news and information while you're waiting for your next episode of Grape Encounters. Here's David.
We shall overcome. We shall
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and what a privilege it is to have on the line with me the executive director of Frye Vineyards. It was just a heart-wrenching story that so many of us read. They were one of the first victims that were reported at the beginning of this fire story, but it was really, you know, as is often the case, when we're in the midst of such a gigantic story, the story can be misreported. And the fact is that there was just no way to get into some of these areas to really accurately evaluate what was going on. But we have Katrina Frye on, as I said, the executive director of Frye. And Katrina, when did you finally discover that the carnage was not nearly as bad as what you were hearing about? And I guess you were getting most of your information from the news as well.
You know, the whole situation, David, continues to be a little chaotic. Rightfully, many of the roads are blocked because of safety concerns, but just today it's finally lifting. So it really wasn't until about 48 hours after the fire went through that we had a clear idea of what structures were left standing. And as we mentioned earlier, we really weren't sure about the quality of the wine. We did experience some damage in the vineyards because a lot of our vineyards benefit from being next to the woodlands, and we've always appreciated the fact that the biodiversity in the woods is helping us maintain our organic certification of biodiversity, but those edges of the vineyards burned along with our woods, so we will have to replace that. But in general, vineyards are somewhat fireproof because they don't have a lot of fuel in them, and they're oftentimes clear on the undergrowth.
You can't stop grapes, baby. You can't.
They're pretty tough.
Pretty resilient. What is that movie from, you know, a couple of decades ago?
Oh, right.
Walk in the Clouds. Who was the star of that movie? I forget.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and at the end, you know, he pulls a vine out of the ground and holds it in the air and proclaims that they're going to rebuild things, you know, because a fire had gone through there. Of course, grape roots go very deep, so he had to be awfully strong to pull that vine out and hold it up. But it's, you know, vines
are... It is still a nice image of rebuilding, and we certainly will do that.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, when you go to wine country and you go to a place like Napa and Sonoma, so many of the wineries are sitting in, you know, open vineyards where there aren't a lot of trees and things. They're, you know, out in the open. But it's a very different story in Redwood Valley. You're on Tomkai Road, is that right?
We're on Tomkai Road.
Yeah. It's a
beautiful forest of a mix of oak, madrone, Douglas fir, and redwood.
So which of those trees are likely to survive? I know the oaks are pretty resilient, right?
That's what I hear, and I know in observing the oak trees a year later after the Lake County fires that you suddenly see new growth sprouting up from what looked like an extremely dead tree. And it can sometimes even take 2 years for that new growth to appear. So, of course, we are all hoping that that will be the case.
From a cosmetic standpoint, what will you do? Will you try to nurture the trees on the property as much as you can? Will you replant? Because I know that's important to, you know, just your environment and the balance of nature there. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, to some extent, fire is a natural phenomena, and it's part of the four elements and part of biodynamics that we all celebrate. So we'll be particularly concerned with erosion, that we don't want soil that had been held by roots to go down into our waterways. So we'll be reseeding quickly. And this is a great time of year to do it because we're about to get our first rain this next week. So there will be a natural regeneration of seeds coming up, and we'll probably be laying wattles and straw down.
All right, wait a second. That's an unfamiliar term to me, lane wattles.
Oh, those are those round rolls that you sometimes see. Maybe I shouldn't use that term.
No, it's okay. We just educated America.
Okay.
Lane wattles, folks. Anyway, yeah. So yes, it's going to be a
really huge
effort.
It's going to be a lot of work, David, but bit by bit.
Well, I just really wish you the very best of luck. And, you know, I know everybody's thoughts are with you. You guys can go to most any place in the country and find your wines. You were literally leaders in the movement toward organic wines. And, you know, now we have so many wineries that are biodynamic as well. That's been a long haul. Before we go away, I want to mention that because I would have never dreamed that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody would be moving toward organic. I mean,
and
how good does that...
the rewarding parts for me of leading this family winery over the last 40 years. I'm actually on the board of Demeter USA, which certifies all of the biodynamic farms and wineries and vineyards in the U.S., and there's a wonderful array of great biodynamic wines out there now.
It's really interesting how... when it first began, I really felt, and I said this very loudly, that I wasn't impressed with, you know, many of the early organic wines. They just weren't cutting it. But now the knowledge that has grown in the wine industry, and thanks in large part to, you know, businesses like yours, is just amazing. And we've learned that actually we can do a better job growing grapes organically and just doing away with the pesticides and all that nonsense that, you know, is killing human beings. And I'm just so proud of what you've done.
Oh, thank you. That's great. I mean, I love to think of biodynamic and organic wines as being the ambassador to teach people about proper stewardship of our earth and not adding poison and Roundup to our lands.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, we're going to say goodbye for the moment. Is there anything that you need from our listeners, I guess, other than the assurance that the Fry wines are going to continue to be around for many generations?
We will be. And, you know, if people feel moved to reach out and help, on the homepage of our website, frywine.com, we have the link for our local fire relief nonprofit, the North Coast Opportunities, that are helping all of the unfortunate victims, mostly individuals who really have no resources and are going to need a roof over their head for the winter.
Yeah, I just encourage listeners to please dig into your pockets. You've got to understand that so many of the people that have been hurt are family operations, and winemaking is not, regardless of what anybody might think, it is not a great way to get rich. It's a real struggle
much of the time. Fry Winery is going to be fine, but I'm really concerned with, you know, just the people who live down the road who are renters and no longer have a house.
And so many of them are workers in support of the wine industry. So, you know, at some point we're going to get the stats on how many people have been affected, but it's just going to be a number that you can't even imagine. It's going to be incomprehensible. So this is a time where we can all just kind of reach out and help one another. Anyway, listen, Katrina Fry, really a privilege, a pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And, you know, I hope that the next time I see you is going to be at some place like Wine Song, you know, where we're just having fun and enjoying the amazing wines that you guys make.
Oh, thank you so much, David. And thanks for getting the word out that Fry Vineyards is rising from the ashes.
Yes, it is the phoenix of organic wines. All right. Katrina Fry, Executive Director of Fry Winery, and you can look for their easy wines to find. So this is a good time to buy them, enjoy them, and we will be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
Did you know that you can visit us in person right in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of California? We can get you a special rate at one of our loveliest hotels, introduce you to some epic wines in person, help you chart out amazing self-guided winery tours, and tell you stories that we're not allowed to share on the radio. Okay, that last one was a stretch. Here's David.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio. And now, boy, am I pleased to have somebody on the line who is a really big kahuna in the wine business. But she was part of a story that took place immediately after the fires really got bad and did something that is just so remarkable and continues to help out so much to help the people who have been displaced by the fires and worse. And I have on the line Kimberly Charles. She is the founder and president of Charles Communications Associates. Welcome, Kimberly. Nice to have you on.
Thank you so much. And that means that I can wash glasses, but I also can run a strategic meeting. You know, it's whatever it takes.
Oh, love it. Well, listen, you were in the papers. You were in the news all over the place. And then also your efforts were brought to my attention by a number of people, including some that have already been on the show talking about the fires. Tell me what you did directly after the fires broke out and we realized that this was catastrophic.
Well, thanks so much. And, you know, I'm very grateful for the virality of the stories that went out and all of that really towards the end of helping the fund that we have set up on GoFundMe. Last Monday, actually, frankly, Sunday night, I was coming home from a Depeche Mode concert, and it was fantastic, but I was on my way home, and I started to smell this crazy acrid aroma, and I got home, and I started checking the Twitter feeds and the news feeds. This was now midnight Sunday, and when I saw what was going on the fire front, and the Atlas fire in this case, I immediately started checking Twitter. I let all my clients know what was going on that had an immediate, perhaps, stake in this, and then tracked and monitored it all night, every 2 hours. I didn't get much sleep.
Let me interrupt you for just a second. When you say your clients, I really want to point out that you are very much focused on the wine industry, represent a lot of wineries and other winemaking concerns, right? Associations, that sort of thing.
Yeah, wine is pretty much our heartbeat at Charles Communications. However, you know, we work on spirits, but more importantly, in this case, like a lot of nonprofit work over the years, both pro bono as well as serving on board. So, you know, the two have always coexisted, much like the wine industry, which has always been extremely generous. I know California alone has raised over $150 million for charities as a group of organizations. So
yes, it's truly amazing. And by the way, you have offices both in San Francisco and New York.
Correct. Yep. Two of the media hubs in the whole country, two very important places.
Okay. So you've learned that these fires are really, really serious. What happens next?
Well, you know, just kept watching the Cal Fire website where all the real data was coming through. And then I essentially knew that right away there was going to be a need and that there was going to be a lot of chaos. And, you know, I'm a military brat. My father was a nuclear submariner. And if you talk to any of my friends or any of my team, I always talk about a backup plan. And right away I just said, you know, there's going to be a lot of goodwill and there's going to be a lot of rush to help. But some of the things people are going to need right away are just the basics, whether it's sleeping bags, cots, non-perishable food, water. And so I got busy setting up a GoFundMe Monday night. I will say I didn't have a glass of wine next to me at that time. I had something a little bit stronger because I was feeling the intensity of it. And we set it up that evening. And 5 days later, it blossomed to $53,000 from a start of $1,100.
That is truly amazing. And, you know, like you said, the wine industry has always been so generous. And it was really touching to see how quickly people reciprocated. The generosity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, David, it reminds me of that scene in Lord of the Rings. Remember when they lit fires at the top of all the mountains to signal each other to get involved and to let everybody know what was happening? I felt like, you know, metaphorically, the same thing happened. The minute this got underway, all of a sudden, a lot of my peers, who are my friends as well, within the wine industry, called and said, let me help. So several people, including Tia Butt, Beck Hopkins, Cottie Calhoun, and other folks, called me and said, let me help. What can I do? And everybody rolled up their sleeves, whether it was getting a hold of Costco directly to say, hey, can you help us out? Any help you can be would be greatly appreciated. Or getting masks ordered, and we're on the red scale still as I speak, air quality for people that are walking and living and working in those communities is really not very healthy. So the levels that people were willing to help at were just stunning, from the very basic to the more complex, and that just fills your heart.
And I wanted to even point out that, you know, in addition to what you're doing, there are so many other groups and individuals that have started efforts to try to help out. I know where I live here in the Paso Robles wine region, many, if not most, if not all of the wineries are donating $1 from every bottle that's sold.
Yes.
For a period of time. I think it's through the end of October, but it may be longer than that. But that's a lot of wine, and that's going to be a lot of money. And I've heard of efforts as far away as the Finger Lakes to try to help. So it's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But sometimes also these things remind us of our humanity.
Yes, it does bring out the best in people, that's for sure. I've also heard of a number of European grower groups or wineries or government entities that want to get behind California. You know, we've led the way with respect to, you know, hospitality and visitorship and marketing from the standpoint of welcoming people. And I know that we're a beacon for many. And not only that, but of course the innovation and the science and the technology on the winemaking front from our major universities. So, you know, I know people want to give back to California in whatever way they can. So I've seen a lot of international interest as well, which is really great.
I was sitting at my computer working a late night of editing, and it was about 3:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden an email clicked through, and it was the owner of a winery in Bordeaux, Chateau La France.
Mm-hmm.
And he was contacting me just to tell me to pass on to the winemakers in California just how horrible the French feel about what's going on in California. And I found that really super touching.
It is very touching. You know, our friendship goes so far back. I even recall it on September 11th. One of my first calls I received was from a dear friend in France, and he said, "You were with us on D-Day, and we will always be together." And so, yeah, I love seeing those affinities that actually supersede any of the, you know, other matters that concern us these days when we worry about our culture and society. Unfortunately, tragedy is a bonding element, but I think that it also shows we can be responsible for ourselves and we can really step into action without, you know, we're mobilizing from the ground up, you know, instead of having to wait for some sort of formal permission. And I love that about grassroots efforts. And here you go, you know, just exemplary action on the part of a lot of individuals.
Yeah, definitely. We are talking to Kimberly Charles. She is the founder of Charles Communications Associates. I know you, Kimberly, from the judging world.
Oh, yes.
You judge some of the same competitions, and those are really happy times.
They are. You know, the conviviality of judges, the energy, the professionalism, the silliness, you know, you name it. It's just great to be able to, you know, move the industry forward through the work that we do. And a lot of people think it isn't work, as we well know. It's pretty arduous. But that community of judges is, you know, also a huge part of even this relief effort, too. A lot of them spreading the word.
And that's one of the things that really struck me was how many of the people that I know from the judging world, how many were immediately on social media and on the phone organizing efforts, getting the word out, making sure communication was clear and precise. It
exactly.
was really heartwarming to watch that. And these are wonderful people. And I also wanted to say one quick thing that, you know, I know that there are places in the country, probably in the world, where people are saying, well, it's just wine. What's the big deal? They really don't understand the fact that most of these wineries, and especially the ones that burn their family operations, and they're promoting the tradition of families going from generation to generation and doing wonderful work, but also the huge contribution, the massive contribution that wine makes to the economy. I hate to use this word, but it's staggering.
It is. I'm reasonably sure that in California alone, I believe that between wine grapes and table grapes, it's probably top five, if not the second, in terms of ranking with respect to its contributions to the economy. And, you know, I think also for many hardworking people, whether they're actually in this particular case with these fires, traveling to Napa and Sonoma counties for, you know, relaxation, for escape, for friendships, for special events, all those things. And metaphorically, if they're just having a glass of it, you know, on the table from an appellation in Sonoma or Napa, it brings them to that place. I think that's going to be part of our work going forward, is assuring people the way they can support is by buying the wines from those regions. Mendocino, not to be overlooked as well. And, you know, to really celebrate California and also to come and visit. You know, we have had some areas tragically affected.
Yeah. And I want to interrupt at this point because we do have to take a quick break. But
got it.
I'm very excited to hear the latest update. I know you've been doing a lot of research on that.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm not so excited to hear it because there's some really bad
stuff. The good
stuff
news is it's been contained in a major way.
All right, let's take a little break. Kimberly Charles on the line from Charles Communication Associates, San Francisco and New York. She is one of the real experts in the industry and does some great PR work and really does a lot to help out in this industry as well. So we'll be back with more in just a second. Stay with us. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Do, 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 do. Wine.
Welcome back to Grape Encounters, where we like to think of every wine country as home. However, our studios are located in the very friendly town of Atascadero, California, where fine wine can be found in every direction, which means you never really need directions to get anywhere you really want to go.
There are some amazing things being done to mitigate the horrific consequences of the fires that are not quite out yet in California. And one of the people who is at the forefront of trying to make sure that we don't forget people who are in dire straits right at the moment is Kimberly Charles of Charles Communications Associates out of San Francisco, one of the best known PR and marketing firms in the wine industry. Kimberly's on the line, and Kimberly, you said you would give us a rundown, a shakedown on exactly where things stand. So let's jump in.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that opportunity. Starting with a sad note, there are 42 people confirmed dead, and I'm sure that that is still not finished. So that is really, really sobering and just a moment for those folks. The extent of the four major fires have burned 159,000 acres.
Wow.
The good news is that as of right now, it's at 83% containment. A lot of the fires that were smaller were grouped into the bigger fires, and we know that those, of course, have affected Napa and Sonoma counties. You know, the interesting thing that I'm sure you've probably read is that, ironically, the vineyard land, I have not heard as much of a destruction on that front, and please don't quote me because this is not my area of complete expertise, but the irrigation of the vineyards was really serving as a great fire block for the onset of the flames. So
wow.
Some of the structures did succumb, but because the vineyards are irrigated on a regular basis, that below ground moisture helped save a lot of vines, which is really, really fortunate because, as we know, we're talking a minimum of 4 years, probably more than that, to really get vines back online. So fortunately, it doesn't seem like the vineyard acreage was quite so devastating.
So what else do we know in terms of numbers now? We're at 80% containment, which is great news. And there's so many firefighters in the region right now that that seems like a doable thing to get that to 100% containment. Anything else you can report?
Well, you know, I've read a number of stories, and you and I were comparing some notes. I've heard that 9 wineries total have been significantly or totally damaged, 5 in Napa and 4 in Sonoma. So considering the scale of this fire, I still have to say, wow, we're pretty lucky.
Yes.
That is not to diminish at all, you know, any loss that people have had, but just to say, wow, it could have been worse. And I do think, too, the Nixol alerts that went out to people saved a lot of lives. I've heard of stories of people. I had a friend who was actually in Europe with her husband on vacation. You probably know Lisa Mattson. Her neighbors went at their own peril to check on her home and let her know real time what was happening. And she was able to actually mobilize the fire department to go to her home and actually save it. And that all had to do with, once again, community, which is kind of the operative word today.
Well, you know, one of the good things that we're now learning is that, as is often the case, the damage, I think, was generally overreported. I mean, in terms of damage to structures and, you know, potential loss of life, and, you know, there's nothing positive about the number of lives lost, but there was a point when they were talking about 300 to 500 people missing. It could have been much more catastrophic. But generally speaking, the bad news was overreported, and it's, I guess, a little consolation to step back and say, well, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I think it's the sort of twin side of having social media, you know, the evolution of media. And I'm so glad that, you know, radio is thriving and well, and, you know, particularly for you and the audience. And I think it will always have a place. But consumers have become reporters. The average Joe on the street is now reporting on things. The problem is they don't often have context. And there is certainly a lot of fear and hype that feeds into that reporting, and it's got to be substantiated. So unfortunately, it requires a lot more sifting. But yeah, I mean, it's a great asset, but it can also be a concerning liability if people aren't actually acting in a more thoughtful way. And I can't imagine during these circumstances that reason was at all accessed for them.
Yeah, although I would say that things were very well organized by first responders. It was really, really well done in terms of having to manage that many people and get them out of their homes and be in, you know, dozens of places at one time. It's just amazing how good we are as a people at dealing with tremendous tragedies like this.
Completely. And I know there's a fair amount of good events coming up. And I'd love to share, David, that this immediate relief that this fund helped with is only the beginning. There are a lot of other groups that want to continue to give, as the rebuilding process is going to take quite some time.
Okay, so we have just a minute left. Why don't you point people in the right direction right now? And
absolutely.
Let's talk about how we can really make a difference. And look, just because the fires are almost out, the biggest problems still remain ahead of us.
Absolutely. And there's a number of different organizations, too long to list, but perhaps we can even put these on the website and I can send you a list of those, which would probably help. I wouldn't want to leave any deserving group out. But there's a major event coming up with the food and wine community. It will be in November. It's under the title Chef's Giving on Twitter and also on Facebook. So you can tune in there for more details. And then in our case, the site is called GoFundMe/fire-relief-Napa-Sonoma-counties.
Is there a way to Google that would be easier for people to find it? Because that's a rough one.
I think if you put GoFundMe Napa Sonoma Fire Relief, try that out and see. There are a few other fundings. Ours is there, and it's the one that's at $53,000 as of right now, but I'm sure we'll be continuing to grow.
And then just for the communities in general, the number of people that have been displaced that have lost their homes is just unbelievably big number. I don't think we really have a reliable figure that we could put out there at this point in time.
No, I've heard 3,500 structures destroyed. I don't know how many of those were homes. I personally, if it just goes statistically, have three friends who have fully lost their homes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of friends, but I know that
considering how many friends you have, Kimberly Charles, that's an amazing number.
Yeah. Aw, that's sweet.
Well, listen, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you coming on and really appreciate Katrina Fry, who preceded you coming on and sharing her story with us. There's going to be a time in the very near future where you're going to be hearing that everything is reasonably back to normal and that you can travel in wine country. And by all means, don't stay away. Once we've got an all clear signal, get out there and support the industry now, because it's so important to the entire country. It's just a wonderful industry that does a lot of good in so many ways.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, if people want to know more about your business.
Yes, please visit charlescom2ms.com. And that's also our Twitter account. And then on Facebook, we're known as All the Swirl. ALLTHESWIRL.
All the Swirl.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it has been a pleasure having you on. I appreciate it so much. And
thank you, David.
You know, keep doing the great work that you're doing. And for the rest of us, for the rest of the weekend, it's going to be All the Swirl.
Thank you so much. And thanks for allowing me the time to share this.
You bet. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters this week. We will be back here same time next week. And we're going to take you to Bordeaux for the next few weeks. And you're going to meet some wonderful, wonderful families that are running some terrific wines. And we're going to help you to learn more about the wines of Bordeaux. They're not all $1,000 a bottle. So that's the good news. We will see you here at this same time.